This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Brisbane and Australian-based Local Legends in Running podcast. My name is Ollie Jones and I'm the host of the show and the founder of the Local Legends in Running brand, including online running coaching services. This podcast primarily involves a one-on-one conversation format with Australian and global elite and amateur runners, coaches, exercise scientists, and event directors, where you hear insights, opinions, and stories you'd otherwise struggle to find scrolling online. Today on Season 4, Episode 94, Tim Crosby, the Competition Director of the Melbourne Marathon, joins me on the podcast. Tim and I met back in 2017 when he facilitated a coaching course in Brisbane with Benita Willis to myself and a handful of other local coaches at the time. Tim was fantastic across the two-day course, hosting what was called at the time a Level 2 Advanced Recreational Running Coaching Accreditation. I learned at this point that Tim had founded and facilitates still his own coaching group, the Crosby Crew in Melbourne, works for AV or Athletics Victoria, Athletics Australia. He coaches elite runners. And as per this episode's discussions, he directs events like Melbourne, the Melbourne Marathon Festival. So subsequently in this episode, we chat 4 days after the marathon itself, talk specifically about the event in general, the elite fields, the recreational runners out there, which is the bulk of it, the areas, I guess, that could be improved for the event. So we talk about 2026 Melbourne and then finish on the Zatopek 10K. That's the Australian champs in December down in Melbourne on the track. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Tim was great. Cheers. Welcome back, Tim Crosby, for the second time to the Local Legends in Running podcast.
Thanks, Ollie. Good to be back.
Yeah, it must have been a few years ago you were on here. We're talking off air. I think when I had you last time, you were halfway through a coaching course up in Northern Territory as part of your role. Have I got that correct?
That is correct. I was deliberating. I think that was the level two course at the Arafura Stadium in Darwin. Beautiful place. And it was dry season, I think. So it was a nice time to be in Darwin.
Yes, a bit of context. Tim and I do know each other from a while ago. It must have been about 2017-ish. Tim, you were up in Brisbane with the one and only Benita Willis facilitating, again, a course, and I was in that. That was at the time through AA, which I know the names have switched, but AA, I guess, still stands as an acronym. But that was for the Level 2 Advanced Recreational Running Coaching course. At the time, there were about five coaches, I think, in Brisbane, in there getting upskilled for an entire weekend, which was fantastic, by the way, with you and Benita. But that was sort of the first place that we'd met. And then I thought, a couple of years ago, it'd be great to get that Tim guy back on. He seemed very invested in what he was doing. He's got a coaching group down in Melbourne too. But largely today is going to be about talking about the Melbourne Marathon, you play a huge part in the organization of that event. I was trying to actually explain to him today the difference between a race director and an event director, and I think that those words hold some pertinence in the managing world, I guess, of events like Melbourne.
Yeah, to me, the race director is the head honcho. So for us, that's Marcus Gale, who works for IMG. So IMG own the Melbourne Marathon and also the Great Ocean Road Marathon. So Marcus is the boss. I call myself the competition director at this event, at Melbourne Marathon. And my role, the brief way to describe it is anything to do with the people, that's me. So that's the elite fields, the paces, the training series, the preferred starts, ticking off all the qualifiers. Anything to do, so I'm not out there counting cups on tables or doing that sort of thing. Or I have a little bit of input on course or course changes because obviously being a runner and someone who's been invested in Melbourne since 1983, they want my opinion if they're going to do anything course wise. But I don't go out there and start dealing with authorities. Thank God I don't have to deal with authorities and trams and police and all that. So it's all the bringing together the elite field, working with Narelle Frochot on the paces and selecting them and wording them up on how to do their job, and then just the administrative tasks like approving the preferred starts or the qualifier system. And of course, the big one this year for us, Ollie, was the training series. It just went to a whole new level. So we conducted 12 weeks of training Sunday morning for the long run and Wednesday evening for secondary runs or speed sessions. We were getting 300 plus 2 hour Sunday mornings.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I had a roster of 25 run leaders. We only trained for the half marathon and marathon though. We don't do the 10Ks, but I had 25 run leaders taking multiple groups out around the streets of Melbourne and getting them ready. So it was just really good. And we've built a great community out of that. And we're hoping to continue some of that post Melbourne marathon. Some of that community want to stay in touch, similar to what we're seeing with the growth of running groups across Australia. People are finding community. The majority of these people aren't in existing running groups, so they suddenly found their tribe with our little training series. So Athletics Victoria actually is going to come on board and do some continuation of that for a few weeks leading up to Christmas, which will be really nice.
Yeah, that's great. You're a man of many hats. And whenever I talk to mates about yourself explaining, like even today talking about that Tim Crosby was coming on and trying to explain what you do for a career, it's like there's so many different roles here. I mentioned the Crosby Crew, that group you founded as a recreational running group years ago, but then also Athletics Victoria. And then you sort of dabble in athletics or Australian athletics now, moving around the country to facilitate those courses like you were back in that time when you had me there in Brisbane as well, but also now the actual events. Can you sort of, is it too hard to explain what your actual week looks like because it changes so much? Would
Changes
that be?
way too much. So my real job, the one where I get paid more money than anything else, is at Athletics Victoria. So I'm sport development manager here, and that means that I look after our club network, which is we've got 60 athletic clubs and about 35 recreational running clubs in Victoria. So it's nearly 100 clubs that we deal with. We've got a membership base, and that just today, it's good timing, Ollie. Just today, we ticked over 10,000 members at Athletics Victoria. So came in today. So that was really good. So 10,000 members. There's a mix there. Probably 60% of those are athletics club members and coaches and all that, and 40% are recreational running members. Okay, so about a 60-40 split there. And I also look after coach education alongside Kate Richardson. So that's the real job. Aside from that, I also help at events for Athletics Victoria. So we have our XCR season, which you would have heard about, which is really successful. And then we go into our track and field season. And in those roles, I do a lot of sports commentary as well. So I
Oh,
was
yes. Yep.
into the national cross country, but I was the head commentator for the national cross this year out of Ballarat. And I do a lot of track racing commentary as well, like the Victorian Champs. And I also organise the Victorian Milers Club down here as well, which is hugely successful. So it's a busy old life, but it is a bit seasonal as well. Melbourne Marathon is becoming huge. So I'm lucky that Athletics Victoria, my real job, gives me scope to do work for the Melbourne Marathon, which is an ever-increasing role. So I do that as a separate job, basically. And that really starts, we've already started on 2026. What we're 3 or 4 days post Melbourne 2025, we're already working on 2026.
Yeah, I don't think I asked last time, Tim, too, like what sort of led you to be in this role to all the many of these roles today, like years ago as a kid, like what things can you think of that like were you an athlete early in your life? Was there a role model that you sort of followed by example that got you, I guess, you know, or influenced you to go into this field?
No, it was basically I lived a corporate life for the first God 20 odd years of my professional career, probably more than that, crikey. And then through volunteering is how I got into events and into Athletics Victoria. So I got recruited to, as a volunteer to organise what was the winter season back then, because I was a club athlete, and at Athletics Victoria they'd seen what I'd done with my club at the time. I'd sort of risen them from the ashes to become quite a successful club in the XERC, or the winter season it was called. And back then there was a lot of volunteer work at Athletics Victoria to make things happen. So they brought me on to manage that winter season, which then became XER as a volunteer. In the first 2 years, I think we rose attendance at those events by 30%. So I think they thought at Athletics Victoria, I sort of know what I'm doing. So I left my corporate role and I got the role as club development manager at AV about, I think, 17 years ago now, 18 years. It's been a long time. So
Yeah,
that
right.
I basically through volunteering and having a bit of nous, I suppose, I knew what I was on about. And I've always had that sort of touch of knowing what the community needs or what the running community wants. And my view of before, nothing against the people who managed that winter season before me, but sometimes it was run by officials for officials. So I came in and then recruited people to help me who were then going to run the series for runners by runners. And that is a huge difference, hence the 30% rise. And suddenly the maps that you looked at were relevant to what a runner wants to see, not what an official wants to see. We did some strategic changing to some of the events we did, and some of the advertising and marketing we did, and then suddenly whoosh, it went quite nicely. So I love doing events still, and then that led me to Melbourne Marathon. That was taken over by IMG in 2006 by Dallas O'Brien, former Stohr Gift winner, and Dallas trooped into the Athletics Victoria offices early in the piece to just to make the relationship, form that sort of relationship between IMG and Athletics Victoria. And of course, I started talking about Melbourne Marathon and my history and my knowledge. And I think he went back to the office and thought, oh shit, we need a guy like that just to do certain things. So they brought me in pretty much first year as a volunteer. And then it became a paid role shortly after that. And what I did from that point in time in what, 2007, 2008, back then, Melbourne Marathon didn't have preferred starts. It didn't have an elite program as such. It didn't have paces. It didn't have a training series. So over that period of time, I've introduced all of those things into the event. And I'm not sure you've seen the footage from Sunday, Ollie, but on Sunday, it was just wow. Melbourne Marathon went to a whole new level. It was just,
No, I definitely have. And yeah, we spoke off air a little bit about my running group up here in Brisbane, the Bush Turkey Track Club. You had some runners down there to manage. I think Clive Gross from our group was one of those in the half marathon. But yeah, feedback was fantastic, Tim. And all of them saying, I'm going back. You should definitely go and do it, trying to promote it. I guess because Brisbane obviously isn't Melbourne. We've got to travel some way to get there. And it's one of those events, though, that anywhere in the country, if not in the world, people try and get to. It's at a good time of year, I guess, because for a Brisbane runner, I guess in some way, the events are all done, right? So being an October event, the Gold Coast run, you might know of that up here. It's sort of a different vibe, I guess, to a Melbourne or a Gold Coast or a Sydney. But that's a run late in the year that some runners do. Melbourne allows runners to just train for that extra event in later in the year too. All the other major ones have finished, for lack of a better word, because we only have one major marathon being Sydney. But yeah, the time of year is good for weather. The weather looked fantastic too, Tim, like sitting around 10 degrees in the morning, a lot of cloud cover as well. We can't control that, but it was good to see that. But what comes first to mind for you from the weekend for the 2025 Melbourne Marathon?
it was, I'll use the phrase from the castle, but it was the vibe. It was the vibe. I've been involved for a long, long time, but just it, you know, I'm just thinking about it now. There's sort of hairs raising on the back of my neck because inside the MCG, we think that there were 30,000 plus people in sitting down in the G. Outside, you know, and there were 40,000 participants. So you've automatically got 70,000 people in the vicinity of the MCG, basically at one time. It was like a football finals crowd. Just had a lovely message from Jen Gregson earlier today. And she said, you know, running into the G, it really just felt awesome because the crowd, I've never seen anything like it. Normally that we were in very defined bays at the MCG and the crowd weren't allowed to go beyond that. It was extended a lot more this year because we knew that we're going to have bigger numbers. And, you know, so all the way around from virtually the time they ran in, they had crowd cheering them. And when Jack came in, when Caitlin came in, Izzy, have to, it was like a football final, the roars, and we had the pyrotechnics going. There's, you know, honestly, Sydney's doing an awesome job and being a major is so wonderful for our country, but they don't have the finish line that we have in Melbourne. That stadium finish with 30, 40,000 people there rather than having temporary stands is something special. And I think that's what your guys from Brisbane are now talking about, that give it a go. Yeah, Sydney's a major and that's how you get your medals and all those sort of things. But Melbourne, the way we're trying to pitch Melbourne now, there's an event for everyone and we're here for everybody. We're trying to pitch ourselves is Australia's, if not the world's most encouraging marathon. So it's not all about high performance and the elites. They form a part and they're an important part of what we do, but it's about every runner out there and our ability to make them have as good an experience as they possibly can. And that's what we want to do. From the kids' 1 kilometre race, which Jen and Archer did, right through to the marathon. So we've got the one, the 3K walk, the 5K, the 10K, the half marathon, and the marathon. We want everyone to feel there's an event for them at the Melbourne Marathon Festival.
Yeah, so if we get to the elite end though, Tim, and we look at, I guess the first spot we can start here is who actually not rocks up to the marathon, but we, you know, you actually get an organised to come as an elite runner to the event. We happy with how many and the depth of the elite end this year?
Yeah, well, you're aware of our policy, though. We are very strictly supporting Australian and New Zealand athletes only. So our elite program only supports Australians
Right.
and Kiwis. We do not have the Kenyans and Ethiopians coming over here. We had one Japanese guy, Joe Fukuda, who won Gold Coast a few
Yep,
years
saw
ago.
that.
Joe was down. Joe actually had to pay for his own entry into the event. Yeah, because we are so. You know, we're sticking to our guns here that we really want to support domestic athletes and the Kiwis as well. We're really big on trying to build that link. And this year that went up quite a lot. I had a lot more interest from New Zealand. I think that might or go through to the marathon next year as well, not just the half. I think we might, although we had Ingrid Cree, the national marathon champ from New Zealand, in our marathon. She ran a 4 minute PB, so she was over the moon. So, yes, very domestic focus. And basically, we start working early in the year to try and work out, you know, who we want. Obviously, we've got a very strong connection to Melbourne Track Club with the likes of Jack and Sinead and Jan Ryan, you know, Skewing Swain. Having him there this year was awesome. You know, Brett Robinson, they're all there, so which is awesome. So we love having that grouping there because they will bring a real high level of attention from the domestic audience to our event.
Yeah, and I see, we spoke a bit off air too, I guess, Tim, about the depth of the half marathon results in the elite end versus the marathon. It's like clearly looking at down the list of the half marathon times, you could argue there's more depth in there. Are you happy with how that sits in comparison to the marathon, or is that something you're trying to push?
We'd love a little bit more depth in the Mara, but we've got to realise where we sit. We were not that long after Sydney.
Yeah.
World champs were in Tokyo only 4 weeks ago. We did have Sarah Klein obviously double after Tokyo, which, you know, kudos to Sarah for doing that because it was a big ask. And then you've got something like Berlin on not long before. You've got Chicago on the same weekend. So it is hard to attract a truly decent field under those circumstances. But I think our aim really is to get the good names from Australia. So we still had Jess Stenson there, but she was in a pacing role for Caitlin because Jess is going to be heading to Valencia. So she saw that as a really, really good hit out. Having Izzy Bat Doyle in as well was fantastic. So it was nearly a who's who. The only one I think we were really missing was Andy Buchanan, and that was because he's just coming off the injury that sort of
That's right.
out of Tokyo, but he'll be racing again very soon. And if we had been a few weeks later, I think he would have loved to have been there. He set our course record for the half last year,
That's right.
so we'd really love to have Andy involved as well. So we are attracting the biggest names in Australia, basically. That's our view. And what I'm also looking for is your next levels, the ones that are on the rise. And to introduce Caitlin Adams to the marathon in Melbourne, similar to Izzy Bat Doyle, she debuted in Melbourne and came second. She wants to get her name on the Kerrin McCann Trophy, but she hasn't got there yet. So I think in the future we will see Izzy run the marathon to try and do that. But remember, Sinead debuted at Melbourne as well back in 2014. So we see ourselves as a perfect launching pad for our top level Australians to get the marathon experience in a comfortable environment where they are being supported. If Caitlin had flown off to Valencia to try and get a run there, number one, she would have struggled to get an elite start. Number two, no financial support whatsoever. And we've given her the opportunity to take home $25,000 in prize money. Now, if that means that Caitlin can then look at 2026 with a coach and say, okay, we've now got capacity to run, a Berlin or a London or whatever, because we've got $25,000 from Melbourne Marathon. Isn't that a good position to be in, and for us to be in as well? That we've enabled that, so we've given them the opportunity to move forward, and that's our mission at the Melbourne Marathon Festival, Nike Melbourne Marathon Festival, is to provide the opportunities for the Australians to go somewhere else and then get the performances on the board to maybe qualify for the championships and things.
Yeah, and staying with the elite, and just for one last question here, Tim, what are you paying them for the top three, and how does that compare to, say, a Sydney and a Gold Coast?
Yeah, well, I don't know what Sydney pay. Their elite first, second, third budget. I don't know what that is. I know that they did release this year the 30,000, and was it 30, 2010 or something like that for these top Australians, which made it problematic for us. But we pay 25, 10, and 5, I think, for the marathon. There could be scope as the event grows. There could be scope. We've already been talking to Race Director about that. But we also have incentives as well. There's a $20,000 bonus if you break the course record, and we will pay some appearance fee or cover transport, travel costs and things like that. So we do have a budget. And we try to, and as I said, that budget only goes to Australians and Kiwis. So we try to get them here so that it can be financially viable for them to attempt Melbourne. If it wasn't for Sydney this year for the first time introducing the Australian Only prize pool, we would have still been the most attractive event for Australians, because you have a look where Leanne and who else was up there? Lisa and Jess, they were what, eighth, ninth, tenth, or something like that in Sydney. So they wouldn't have got big money at all in the Sydney event apart from the Australian prize money.
Yeah, and that's something that I guess you guys don't do because of it being an Australian New Zealand focus. So the
Correct.
payments
Yeah,
are
we don't
just for
need to.
first, second, third.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Good luck to a Kiwi if they want to come over here and go for the big money. Good on them. They'll serve it up to the Aussies. And the other thing too, Ollie, if say a Kenyan was to get their visa and get here on their own, off their own bat, and then want to start our race, we wouldn't say no. But our key is that we don't support them. Okay, they've got to do that. They've got to pay everything to get here. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, let's get to the recreational end, because this is the bulk of the race, isn't it? The ones who are out of that elite field, and the numbers we're talking about here. How's the numbers this year? I sort of want to hear about, like, each event individually compared to each other for this year, but then also if we stand back over the sort of history of Melbourne from when it was founded, where are we standing there for numbers in general, Sam?
All right, so we broke the records for participation in both the marathon and the half marathon on this weekend just gone. So we upped our marathon capacity from 12 to 14,000. And realistically, with the drop off that you normally get, which is 10 to 15%, that I knew that we'd be in the 12s, and that's I think where we landed, about 12.6 or something like that, I believe we got to in the marathon. So that's a new record. It's still 20,000 below Sydney, we know that. But we also had a very similar number in the half marathon, and probably just slightly below that in the 10K. So, all big events. And then the 5K, from what I heard, I didn't see much of it, but I believe that that was massive as well. That the crowd on the start line just went way around the corner. So all the events are growing, and that goes right through even to the kids' 1K race. So we're looking at, 50,000 entries across all the events, about 40 odd thousand starters, as it turned out. And we're always looking at, well, what do we do? Because we had a lot of people who couldn't make the event because we've sold out so quickly. The comparison now is getting into Melbourne's like getting Taylor Swift tickets. And that what that does, because we sold out so early in December of 2024 for the 2025 race, it really pushed people up to Sydney because they had a much greater capacity. So we did Sydney a big favour by being a sellout so early. So people were then opting to do the Sydney event, which helped them. So we're looking at ways to increase capacity. Nothing's been come to fruition yet, but we will be looking and constantly talking with authorities in Melbourne because you need to have all of those authorities lined up, which is the City of Melbourne, City of Port Phillip, trams, police. It just goes on and on and on. They all have to fall in line to give us the road width, the road closures, closure to public transport. All of that has to come in line. In fact, this year's or last 2 years, we've had the whole of Fitzroy Street closed in St Kilda, which has been awesome. That's allowed us to up capacity. And if we can get a few more things next year, which we'd like, we can up capacity again. But as I said, no promises and nothing in concrete yet. But we're looking hopefully in 2026 to go up again a little bit more.
Speaking of road closures, surely one thing you've got to think about is how long the event's going to take, right? Like, when's that last runner going to come through? What I have of interest here, though, is like I talk to even people who are starting to run marathons and they want to sort of find out, what's an average time for a marathon? I just find it such a hard question to answer.
It
Is that
depends on
something you
the.
track, like a median or an
Yeah, we
average
do.
time in a marathon?
Yeah, of course. We need to know that because of the foot traffic on the MCG, because that's another limiting factor. How many people can you have on the MCG surface at one time? So we need to know that. We need to know those people flows. So, yeah, we do track. In Melbourne, I think the average finishing time is a bit over 4 hours. In the major events like Sydney and a lot of the other majors, that's tracking more towards the 5 hours, the average time because of the numbers and the congestion is so great. So ours is a bit quicker than the average, and it is definitely a quicker course as well. I think Gold Coast and Melbourne are definitely the two choice events for if you want a quick time. Yeah, Sydney's times are excellent. But look at the field they've got and look at the budget they've got to bring them here. So, of course, when you're bringing 202 runners or 20, 201 runners, you're going to get the times. But we know that when you do comparisons of where people are getting their PBs, especially our just standard runners, majority are getting PBs in Gold Coast or Melbourne.
And hey, that's a number inside the MCG on the surface of the grounds. What is the issue, and is any idea of the number that would actually cause like some kind of damage to the field?
Damage to the field is not really the big issue because we have matting, and that matting was expanded a lot this year. So there's a lot more. I'm not sure if you saw the overheads from within the G, but there was a lot more of the white matting down. And that meant that people, what we really want is people to have their moment on the G. We don't want to just have them on. And then I've been to events where you finish and you're just scurried away from the finish line as soon as they can get you out of there to keep traffic moving. So you don't have the bank up across the line so that everyone can actually run through the finish line. We were really proud this year that from what I saw, everyone had the ability to run through that finish line because the crowd was moving forward. But still, when they went around the slight bend on, especially in the half and the 10 and the five, there was it opened up, to this huge expanse of white matting where they could just relax, take their selfies, do all of that. We want that. We want people to believe or to think or to know that the MCG for that day is their property, that they've got they're sharing the MCG experience and they're not suddenly being sent off and down the tunnels or up the stairways, because that's the other major issue is the collection of medals, the collection of t-shirts. And of course that's going to bank up. If you've got 14, I've heard a few complaints about, oh, I had to queue up for this. My God, you're out there with 14,000 or 12,500. Of course there's going to be queues. If you come in through in peak hour, there are going to be queues. We can't stop that. That's going to happen. It happens at all the other events too. So I don't really like that criticism because it is now a mass participation event and queues will happen. We try to streamline it as much as possible. And what we were recording this year was the time it took for people to cross the finishing line and then exit the MCG area or exit the state, the holding points, so that we can then manage people flow even better. So if you finished in 3:30 and then you left the MCG playing surface at 4 hours, we know that took you half an hour, or you spent half an hour on the G. And that's fine. As long as we know what that is and can then try to plan, okay, this is our peak period, how many people are going to be there, how much room we need, and what that's going to mean down the line, down the chain for the medal collection, for the t-shirt collection, we can plan better and organise that better.
Yeah. Well, let's keep on that because I guess as a director or anyone involved in an event, when you organize an event, the most obvious thing that follows is to reflect on that and to get better and change things in a way that best caters for everybody. And that's the challenge that even when I try and explain to the fact when events are run on one day, Tim, not a 2 day event, that's quite difficult to really get around that issue of people traffic too. Like some feedback I have received, and again, this is only anecdotally and from a few people, is that they did have some issues towards the end. They're trying to run through the back of some runners. I wasn't there on the day. I have never run the event. I just want to sort of hear about what does that actually look like and what goes through your guys' minds about making sure that's as free as you can, given all those complications I just spoke about.
And you've sort of hit the nail on the head there. We are attempting to do, apart from the 1K kids race, we're attempting to do a whole pile of races in one day on the same footprint. So it's going to lead to issues. And yes, a valid criticism of the Melbourne Marathon currently is that the faster marathon runners are at certain points of St Kilda Road and through the tan area, they're going to run into the back of slower half marathon runners. And that is an issue. We are looking at that one. And I believe that if everything comes to fruition next year in 2026, that will not happen. Okay, what we've done to mitigate that in recent years, though, is have more signage and more barriers to actually separate the fields. And it has been a lot better. And getting more road width, particularly in Flinders Street towards the end, has helped enormously with that. Obviously, when everyone hits the tunnel at the moment, you can't put barriers in the tunnel before you hit the MCG. So, yeah, because every barrier you put down, you lose them virtually a metre either side. So, we don't have the room to do that. So, we know that there can be a little bit of running in the back of people there. But I think just for the sheer experience of coming out and into that broad expanse of the MCG, it's well worth it. But there are moves afoot next year to look at all of that. And yeah, I won't sort of, get people's expectations up too much, but if we can get what we want, that won't happen in 2026, and the marathoners, virtually all marathoners, will have pretty free rein out there.
Yeah, and how does the sort of debrief look for someone like you after an event? Have you had that? And when you do have it, if it hasn't happened,
It hasn't
what else
happened
are you going to be
yet.
talking about? What other issues do you see that need to be improved there, Tim?
Oh, it's things like the aid stations,
Yep.
little things like, did we have the cups in order? It was supposed to be water and then Morton, and I think on a few that wasn't the case. So I just hope that no one picked up a Morton and threw it over their head
Yeah.
as water, because that's the sticky sticky outcome for them. It's just things like that. Also, how the personal drink stations operated, congestion points out on course, the spectator interaction, the entertainment on course is something they also look at. I believe that that was sensational out there this year. We found this year too, Nike have been with us now for 5 years, and I think they acknowledged that this year they finally really got it right, because the Nike presence around Melbourne pre-event, the Nike presence out there on the day, that lifted the event exponentially. And I think I'm free to say that they've just signed another 5 year deal with us. So they're back for another 5 years. So, which is awesome. The Nike team have been growing into this event over the last 5 years. And we're really, really happy to have Nike continue on the relationship for another five. So that's a 10 year deal, which is pretty sensational.
Yeah, excellent. And do you look to next year at all in any way, like in terms of when are the tickets released for, next year's event? And also, who else is in mind from an elite point of view? Is that too far out for the elites? But maybe the rec runners can sign up. It's so hard these days, isn't it? It's happening way earlier, as you know,
That
Tim,
is, yeah.
even from like 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. Well, we were desperate to sell tickets on the weekend, not so long ago, only probably 4 years ago. We would have been really happy to be selling more entries on the weekend. Now we're selling out in December. I don't know when we'll release entries the first, and bear in mind it goes in various waves of release. So the first release might be X percent, and then you've got X percent that is set aside for, the qualifiers and for the charity spots and for, the sponsors and supporters and all that. So it goes off in waves. So when they sell out, they say sold out in December. That's not sold out. It's just that that first wave has gone, and then they'll be doing ballots and things after that. I would like to think that maybe December will reopen, but if there'll be some very heavy negotiating in the next couple of months to try and get a few changes to course timing, all those sort of things, and if they come to fruition, it's going to be a different ball game for 20. Now, if they're still stuck in the mire of trying to negotiate with various authorities, it may not be December. It might get pushed back then to the other side of
Yeah,
Christmas.
crazy, crazy. It's yeah, it's so different, isn't it? Just quickly before we're actually going to move on to some other things quickly away from Melbourne. Before we get there, did you chat to any of the guys of the likes of Brett Robinson, Stewie McSwain, Jack Rayner? Because they got a few stories right. Like Jack Rayner's had his injury; he hasn't run a marathon in ages. Obviously, he won that. The time was like a little bit slower than what he's done. I just wonder if he was that like his full effort, his fitness, or is he just gone there to win that? On Brett Robinson, like he was fourth place. Surely he's someone who wants to be higher than that. And McSwain, like that was his second half marathon, I think. I think he ran a 63 somewhere a couple of years back, but that was a 64 for him, which is fantastic. But I just wonder where he's heading to, his first year out of the World Athletics Champs as well.
No, I obviously have good communication levels with most of the boys and the girls, so I hear their stories. As of probably 2 or 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, I didn't really know if Jack Rayner was going to run. The story there is that his girlfriend had had gastro. He was feeling pretty damn average on Saturday. Didn't come to any of the briefings or anything like that, and which he normally does. And yeah, I was very pleased to see him, about what was it, 5:30 in the morning. I was very pleased to see him rock up to the elite rooms. I thought, yeah, we've got him. And Collison told me that he would show up, and it was a matter of what would happen out there. We were really lucky though that Joe Fukuda, the Japanese guy, served it up to him early, and that was good for Jack. It meant that, and for us, the visuals on the live stream, which must say the live stream went to a new level this year as well. That was a really good live
Yeah,
stream.
it was great.
For it. So, but just watching the live stream myself, I thought, oh, this is great because it looks like we've got a race rather than just Jack being out there by himself. He had to work for it in those early stages until he broke them. So yeah, Jack was, and that's, I'm not making excuses for him. At 2:15, yeah, that's not at his best. He ran 2:11:40 something last year on that course, so we know he can run quicker on it. But it was just a polished performance, I think, Ollie, and he did what he needed to do, and he provided us the imagery that we want.
Yeah,
Jack coming
100%.
across the line, it is, these are memorable images,
Yeah.
because, yet again, when we refer back to have to say being the first Australian at Sydney, we're not getting that imagery of him holding the banner up and all those sort of things and coming through to the pyrotechnics. They miss that because they're minutes behind the leaders. Whereas Jack gets all of that. He gets the roar when he comes into the stadium. So that's for us is really vital. That's really, really important to us. With the half marathon boys, nothing against Stewie or Brett, because they ran really, really well. It's just that we had a bloody good field. Have to, when he broke them, he really broke them. Then you had Zach Faccioni, who was an X factor, stepping up to the half marathon, and
Yeah,
all he
he had a
said to
great
me
cross
after,
country run, didn't
yeah,
he?
won the national cross
Yeah.
and come from a track background. All he said to me at the end was, "Gee, that was a long way." So, he stepped up to the half, and but he did very well. And the one that I always thought was going to be a smoky, and I was hoping that he'd do really well, was Toby Gualter from New Zealand. I've known Toby since the World Mountain and Trail Running Champs back in 2019 in Argentina. Really lovely kid from New Zealand. He came across me. He came second in the Run Prix 10K in 28:30 something, I think it was. It was a really impressive time, and I thought this is Toby's chance because what the Kiwis say to me. We don't have many opportunities to do major. You've got Christchurch and you've got the Auckland, Wellington marathons, but they're not quite a Gold Coast or a Sydney or a Melbourne. And they celebrated the chance of for him to run against Haftu, Zach, Brett, Stewie and a whole raft of other good guys. Toby was really itching to get out there, and he ran third. So that was a really good result for Toby. And that sets him up now. A bit of prize money. We support him to come over here, and that sort of sets him up now to he'll be back as Zatopek, I think. So that's a good win for us as well. Yeah, Stewie, yeah, I think Stewie's now on the verge of really launching into roads, and I think we didn't see the best of him on Sunday. But we don't know where he is in training, development. What's going on in the background. So I think Stewie's just an absolute superstar. And once again, to watch him, have you ever had much to do with Stewie? Have you met him personally, Ollie?
No, and not on the podcast either. I just know he's hard to track with no Strava and minimal stuff on Instagram and go
Yeah,
ahead.
but you get him into an audience or into a public funding role, and Stewie is gold. He's actually we've got a lot that like that. I could just reel off some names of Australian athletes who are really wonderful, but Stewie to me is outstanding at the ability to just talk to people, not to bat him off, not I'm too important for you. We had some really wonderful shots of him on the Saturday afternoon with the Indigenous Marathon Foundation runners. We had a whole pile of them down to celebrate Charlie Marr's 8th marathon for the year. And so the IMF were there to do the welcome to country, and Stewie was there to do the elite, talk. And he's just so willing just to stand there, have photos taken, talk to people, and relate to people as well. Not to do it falsely. Stewie's actually a nice guy, and will want to. It's a bit like Moners, Moners will chat to everyone. So
Yeah,
that's what I like.
he seems to pop up on the Inside Running podcast every sort of 3 4 years, and he's fantastic. There was an amazing clip developed on Jack Rayner too. Why I'm looking at it now, that's why my eyes are heading off the screen. But it's called Mental Athletic. It was put on Instagram. Did you see this? A super slow-mo, crystal clear footage, and it just sort of showed me and painted a picture, for lack of a better phrase, but just of that what running can offer. Like it just sort of really sort of hit me emotionally about the event in Melbourne, but also what running actually means to people, not just someone like Jack who's elite, but anyone out there.
I think this is one of the things that is driving numbers. The imagery that we're now getting is so much different to what we used to get. The ability for the guys to be out there on their motorized boards and be getting the up close personal shots. The guys presenting beautifully. You look at Jack and you look at Caitlin, Izzy, Jess, Sinead, the whole lot of them. They just look amazing when they're out there doing their stuff. And I think that's then resonating through to the general punters because they're now associating, Sinead Diver's just run the half marathon. I've done the half marathon as well. Sinead Diver was wearing this and that, and I looked really good in my kit too. So, and I should say their Nike kit because, that's our sponsor. But how good do they look? And I think that imagery that we're now getting from these new age developers of footage and content, I think that's really pushing and making running such an in thing to do. When I started running in the 1980s, we were dorky, skinny little weedy people. And what do you want to do that for? What a stupid thing to do. But now it's really captured the imagination, and runners are really proud to say that they are a runner. And I that's a wonderful thing for all of us.
And speaking of that too, Izabel Doyle's one who's pushing that media side of things on Instagram, and she talks openly about that. Like this is their job, and they're trying to get noticed, and that's a huge part of it as well. But she won that half marathon. The other one too was, and I know you've coached a lot of the elite women over the years, Tim been involved in the elite end here, but Caitlin Adams as well. That was her debut in the marathon.
Yeah, and that was a lovely story. She was my pre-race favourite. I just know that the way she would have been prepared by Adam Diddick, what you know, he's you know he's had Jess for forever, and had such great results out of her. Adam's the type that doesn't leave a stone unturned, and I've known Caitlin for quite a long time. I think I was a team manager when she did her first world team to the uni cross country back in Switzerland, and it's just Caitlin's just just a lovely girl. She's a good country girl. Mum and dad are driven all the way from the York Peninsula in South Australia to come and watch a race. And I know Mum was absolutely in tears at the end of it. She's just a, and she's now engaged to Lachie Scott. Lachie was there to support her. He couldn't run with her, unfortunately, due to an injury. But But you might see Lockie not just being a husband soon, but also potentially taking on some of the coaching duties with Caitlin. But as I said earlier, if we've given her now the opportunity to launch to something bigger and better in the marathon, 2:30 is an impressive debut. Okay, it's an impressive debut. Where does she go from here? What is her trajectory in terms of Australian teams? We've had the likes of Waitman and Diver sort of dominating. Leanne's now coming into the scene. Jess is still around a bit. But there's space there, I believe, for the likes of Caitlin Adams to think, okay, I've got a legitimate shout here at moving into Australian teams in the next few years.
2:30 she'd run, and as you'd note, sub 2:30. There's a number of women under that now, but that's really where you want to be, isn't it? Where you want to start, and a lot of them have moved now sub 2:25. But
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
so, so good to see.
I think Caitlin, had she been pushed or had more
Yeah,
opposition,
yeah.
would have gone sub. But she just got through it. I know she had a few little issues out there, and it wasn't, the perfect race. But I think we're looking at another sub 2:25 runner there at some stage.
Yeah, excellent. Hey, on the agenda, I wrote down here to speak about your next event. Well, I don't even know if you're running other events or involved. Are you, and what do you have?
Yeah, I'm pretty heavily involved in Zatopek. So Zatopek
Zatopek, yeah.
is December 14. So the Australian 10,000 metre champs here at
Yeah.
Lakeside Stadium. It's going to be a bit different this year. The last 2 years we've had On as our primary sponsor as part of the On Track Nights, the global series. They've now withdrawn all of the On Track Nights across the world. So we don't have On backing us, but we will still be. Zatopek's been around for 60 odd years. It's not going anywhere. It's staying. I was talking to Lauren Ryan yesterday. She'll be here for it. So Lauren Ryan, ninth in the world champion in the 10,000. So if Lauren's lining up in the and it's not the on track night, who cares? We've got Lauren. So hopefully we might see some of the others. I'm yet to see how it falls into line. It's definitely the Australian Championship. Does it have bearing on the Commonwealth Games 10,000 metre selection? I don't know. I haven't read the selection criteria for Com Games yet, but definitely it's an event that is still valued. That's Zatopek now.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, it still resonates with the crowd. Everyone
Yeah.
knows Zatopek. And I honestly don't believe that we're going to lose much in the way of crowd without all the razzmatazz that on board with the bridge and all the screens and all that stuff. I think the Zatopek stands on its own 2 feet, and I want a really good crowd here in December to watch it, because we've got to show that, particularly with the success of the Melbourne Track Classic in March, that we can get people coming to athletic events, and particularly the distance running fraternity, come out and support the Zatopek. Don't sit at home and watch it on live stream. Actually come here and show your support
Oh,
for
it looks so great. Yeah, just the atmosphere from Brisbane that is on the stream is always it always looks fantastic.
Yeah, well, come
But
on down, Ollie. Come on to
oh, I just need more
Melbourne.
money and time. And if I didn't have children, it'd be a lot easier too, having two kids. But love to be there. It's just in Brisbane we don't get that, if we're being honest about the Queensland athletics, that there's
Yeah, no,
things
but
happening, but that 10K is it's countrywide, right?
it is. But I honestly think Queensland's on the rise. I think you look at what's happening in South Australia, that's really moving forward. Sydney's always been a powerhouse. We've got some great athletes. It's great to see Jenny Blundell, stepping up to half marathon. She ran fourth in that great race on Sunday. But Queensland, I think you guys, things are on the rise there. And I think that just the depth of the recreational running side, but also the elite side, is on the move. And when I'm looking through my fields to try and get people down here, I'm often seeing, oh, they're Queensland, they're Queensland. I want them down in Melbourne. So I'll be working heavily to get more Queenslanders down here. And yes, you might not have a big meet. It doesn't matter. You're still getting momentum, and you've got some good coaches. You've got some bloody good coaches up in
Oh,
Queensland,
yeah.
and you are starting to deliver at the top end. Your Tim Vincents and those types, they're starting to really come through. So yeah,
Yes,
and
as
the other one, I think she's a Queenslander, but Greer Wilson on Saturday, Sunday in the marathon, came fourth. Well, I think it was fourth or fifth. But Greer, dropped it from a 250 runner to a two sub 240. Massive.
Yeah, right.
So
No, the name does not ring a bell.
yeah, well,
Yeah.
I didn't recognize her when she came. I'd heard of her. I knew that she was there, but she wasn't part of the elite field. So yet again, that's what makes me feel pretty proud about Melbourne. Once again, we found another one. We found another sub 240 here that has just dropped from the clouds. So how good is that?
Oh, yeah. Hey, speaking of Zatopek, do we know who's in that event right now, or is there still
Nah,
time in the
too early.
beginning? Yeah.
Too early. Apart from Lauren, I'll talk to Collis about who he'll have. But it's close to Valencia, so that's going to rule out all of the Valencia runners, unfortunately. But we'll still have, I think, some pretty decent fields
Yeah.
within the men and women. I'd like to think Jack will have a go. I think Jack is very close to equaling Ron Clark's number of wins in the Zatopek, and I think Jack would love to be up with Clarkie as the mostest winner of the Zatopek, if not go on in future to be the five-time champion or whatever, five or six-time champion. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that 10K Australian record is been peppered, hasn't it? Like
Yeah.
Pat Tin had for a bit. Rayner's been there. McSwain's been there. Have I missed someone here? Those three come to mind.
Yeah,
But
and also in the women, Lauren has been,
yeah, then sort of mid-30 range too. Yeah, Lauren and what Izzy had it for a bit, didn't she?
Izzy and
Yep.
Rose, and they're all up there.
Rose,
So,
yeah, isn't she in great form too, Rose? So
oh
if we can get
yeah, we'd
these
love to have
ladies and
Rose for
guys
Zatopek.
there, yeah.
Yeah, good thing about Rose, she's not marathoning yet, so that means she's available for the other things. So it's not being distracted yet by the marathon. I think she'll step up because we're sort of hoping we would like to have Rose for the half year, but she's had a busy program. Same with Lauren. I normally had Lauren Ryan for the 10K at Melbourne, but yeah, just coach said no because she just needed that little break after Tokyo. So yeah, which
Yeah,
is
yeah. Yeah, excellent. Hey, last thing here, Tim. Just with the track season coming up, like I just sort of alluded to it here in Queensland. You are right. It is building the scene. I don't want to smash it too hard on a podcast that's going public. But one thing I just think about is how we can get more runners on the track. Like obviously the recreational events like a Melbourne, a Gold Coast, even a Brisbane Marathon Festival are attracting the numbers. It seems like the running boom has had an impact on track, but not as grand as the fun runs or major events like those. What are the factors that we need to consider to get athletes on the track to make it more attractive, do you think?
No, well, number one is capacity, Ollie. Yeah, you can't have 10,000 people starting the track
That's
race. So,
right, yeah.
yeah, you need to demystify track. The track isn't just for athletes. The key there is having quite a few. It doesn't have to be QA or AFSPC organising these things,
Yeah.
but down here, Collis and his mob, Pulse, they'll organise a 5,000 metre night or a 3,000 metre night. So that's away from the athletic scene, and that's more attractive. So if we put on the Victorian 5,000 metre champs, we're not going to get people running 35 minutes for 5K jumping in that. So it's just not going to happen. But if it was organised by a local club and they hire a track for, X amount of hours and put on some 5Kers. But also, don't just concentrate. The 5K is bloody hard on the track, I find. As a former 1500 meter runner, I used to hate the 5K. 3K is also a sweet spot where you're sort of getting around
Yeah.
nearly that park run distance, but not quite. But the 3K, the 7.5 lapper, I think is a great race for the
Yeah.
recreational runners as well. And even throwing in a 1 kilometer race just to see what people can do on the
Yeah, can
track.
do on 1K, yeah.
Yeah, because that's such a comparable thing. If you're doing your marathons or your half marathons at 5 minute Ks and then suddenly you race a 1K and run 3:45, you
Oh,
think,
yeah.
oh my God, I'm pretty special.
I
And
say this all the time, yeah.
yeah,
Yeah, it gives
exactly.
perspective, doesn't it?
It
To
does.
see how fast you can run and then kind of, yeah, as you mentioned, compare it to the race pace.
Yeah, so I think similar to down here, you need your clubs, and this includes your recreational running clubs, being more proactive in the scene, not just saying, oh, QA don't do this or QA don't do that, because they're looking after their athletic clubs and their own program. You need the clubs to be proactive in booking a track or, whatever they need, going in there, doing, having the organisation behind it. You have seeded races, so, you're not going to be suddenly standing alongside Stuart McSwain when the gun goes, all right? So
No,
you'll be
thanks.
against like with like. And those well-seeded races then become quite popular because people aren't feeling intimidated and they're not feeling like they're holding everybody up. And that's the real key to getting recreational runners onto the track because we know that they love the track training. We know that. And that's when they can feel
Yeah,
comfortable on track. We then got to transition it to actually face the starter's gun, and know that this will be timed and recorded and might go public. You've got to make sure that they're comfortable in that situation, and that to run a 27-minute 5K is not a bad thing. In fact, it's an amazing thing. So give it a go. And that's what I think our recreational runners have to realize, that you're not looking being looked down upon by the club athletes and the elite athletes. They actually really admire what you do. So get out there and do it. Have a go at it. I don't care what you run for a 5K. Get out there and find an event that does suit you, where you're not feeling intimidated. You feel that it is then where you belong, and that's what we really want.
Oh, that's great, Sam. Well, yeah, let's wrap that up there. And thank you again for coming back on here. It's always interesting hearing from the race directors, event directors, people involved in actually creating the events. Like, I know down in Melbourne, you're pretty well known in that space. But for someone, even a Brisbane listener, someone listening across the country or even worldly, it's great to hear it from you. And they may not know you at all. So hopefully they've, I guess, learnt about not just yourself, but how all these things work, all the intricacies around an event, and when it is like a one-day event, how hard it actually is to get right, and how much feedback is coming back when you've got thousands and thousands of people out on the course, and then obviously a big team. So thanks.
Often we sort of joke at AV here, we get feedback from our XCR events, and it's always, lack of toilets and all those sort of things, which is the common stuff. But sometimes you get really cutting feedback, that you don't care about it. But we sort of joke down here, it's as if we have a meeting every Monday morning, how we can fuck around with people and make their life horrible. We don't do that. We are always looking for improvement. We're not looking to put on poor events, but it is, there's so many factors that go into an event. And it's the same with Melbourne. Yes, there'll be complete, I heard someone complaining about having to run on the tram tracks. If we didn't have those tram tracks, you wouldn't have the whole of Fitzroy Street, and we'd have to reduce the field limit by another 3,000. So there's got to be some give and take. So yeah,
Yes, yeah.
give the race organisers a look. We're not here to try and ruin your lives. We're actually here trying to provide something for you. And of course, it's never going to be perfect. Never going to be perfect.
Yeah, let's be grateful people. Gratitude goes a long way. And yeah, hopefully they're very thankful for that event, and the feedback from up here in Brisbane has been amazing, Tim. So thanks again, and we'll get this out this afternoon for, I guess, also for those who've run Melbourne will love this episode. So I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. And thanks again, Tim.
No worries, Ollie. Pleasure as always.
Awesome, mate. We'll be in touch.
Great.
You're looking for a little bit more guidance and coaching for 2025 and 26? Touch base on the Local Legend in Running Instagram page, and happy to talk further to you. I coach a number of athletes on their way to races such as 10K, half marathons, and marathon events. Welcome.